above the clouds, Lord, where the pure sunshine is found. Lift me up above my weakness. Lift me up into thy strength. Lift me up above the shadows till I stand with thee. Lift me up above the shadows. Lift me up, let me stand here. Let the mountaintops of glory, let me dwell in the land. Lift me up above the shadows, my fear into joy. Lift me up above my grief.
Each and every one of you. Just welcome to everybody that's watching online, First Pentecostal in Villa Rica. For all of you that are able to join us this morning, let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. I want to lift up gracious and heavenly Father. There are a lot of prayer requests have gone forth. I know in our Sunday school class, we always have spoken prayer requests, just like we do. And there are a lot of situations from vehicles breaking down this morning, from people that are sick and shut in, those that are still in nursing homes, assisted living, you know. We just want to lift each and every situation up. If you have a prayer request this morning, just show by the raising of your hand. You know, God knows and sees each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you. Lord, we thank you for this day, for this beautiful day you've given us, dear Lord. We just want to worship you as we come together, dear Lord, in your house. Dear Lord, may we just be in one mind and one accord. Lord, ready to praise you, ready to receive your mighty word this morning, dear Lord, and just ready to lift you up and let you just continuously fill this house this morning with your Holy Spirit, dear Lord. We just love and praise you. Lord, as we come together now, dear Lord, you see each and every one that's here. You know the depths of our hearts, dear Lord, even those watching online with us this morning, dear Lord, that are putting out prayer requests, dear Lord, we ask you now, Lord, we're placing each and every need into your mighty hands. And Lord, we're asking you to heal, to mend, to protect, to provide. Dear Lord, we're asking you to strengthen families, dear Lord, our loved ones, dear Lord. We're praying for our country now, our state and our community, dear Lord. May we just lift you up and put you first in everything that we are, dear Lord, because we're nothing without you, but with you everything is possible. Lord, we thank you for the healings in advance, dear Lord. We thank you for answering these prayers. We just love and praise you. We ask you to bless our pastor, strengthen him and his family. Lord, each and every ministry that goes forth from this church house, Lord, we ask you to bless and to anoint, because it's not about us, it's all about you. May your word be spread, dear Lord. May your light go forth. Lord, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Let's give him another hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. While you're standing, turn to page 333. I'll Fly Away. I didn't have a chance to tell all the musicians, so we'll just, I'll Fly Away, page 333. Some glad morning. Isn't that going to be great? Seated if you can. We're going to go ahead and take up our morning offering. I want to take a moment as they're coming forward. I just want to thank, just a personal thank from myself and from the church, to all the people that are doing all the backset ministries, from the musicians to the choir, to our Sunday school teachers, to our ministry leaders, to all that's going forth. Those in the sound box that do such a wonderful time making sure the words are on the screen, the scripture's done. I just want to recognize each and every one. It's nothing, I just to say thank you. And we just appreciate each and every one of you. I don't want you to ever believe, from our secretary to all the board members, to everybody that's involved. This church doesn't just function on just the pastor or just me being up here, but we just love each and every one of you, and we thank you so very much. But most of all, we thank you for following the obedience of God, whether it be from this, from the work that's going on around the church, from all the beautification, the repairs, to the those that are, from the offerings that's given, to everything that's done, that we just obey God and be in His will in all that we do. Just praise the Lord. Brother Luke, if you'd ask. Amen.
Sit down with power, let it fall like rain. As you
Have you ever stared down a mountain too tall to climb? No way to get over, no matter how hard you try. But somehow the Lord got you to the other side. Can I get a witness? Have you stood on the bank of a Red Sea wrestling doubts? 'Cause it's too far to swim and too wide to get around. But the good Lord brought you through walking on dry ground. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Can I get a hand raised high? Can I get a witness? Anybody want to testify? If you cried out for a miracle and you see Him do the impossible, but you're still holding on to a single thread of hope that the Lord can deliver, and you won't even smell like smoke.
Yes, amen.
Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Can I get a hand raised high? Can I get a witness? Anybody want to testify? If you've cried out for a miracle and you've seen Him do the impossible, can I get a witness? If you can't stay silent, can't keep quiet,
yes,
then here's your chance.
Hallelujah.
Here's your chance. Can I get a witness?
Just raise your hand.
Can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness?
Can I get a witness? Can I get a hand raised? Get a witness. Anybody want to testify?
If you cried out for a miracle and you've seen Him do the impossible,
can I get a witness? Can I get a witness?
If you cried out for a miracle and you see.
praise the Lord for His goodness and His mercy. Amen. Praise the Lord for this day and this opportunity to come into the house of the Lord to worship. I hope you're making plans to be with us tonight. Brother Jeff Moore is going to be coming, expecting a great time in the Lord. Please come and support and be with the church tonight, looking for a great time. Amen. If you need an answer from God, I know God is the one, amen, that we can go to. Let's let all of our visitors know how much we love them, how glad we are that they came to worship the Lord. Well, I'm not a rich man with diamonds to bring. I'm not one for saying I can do anything. I'm nothing but no one, just one more grain of sand. Except I've been touched by the Master's strong hand. Oh, I feel the touch of the Master's strong hand, leading me on through this weary sunland. Footsteps falter to wipe the gut to span, except for the touch of the Master's strong hand. Now if you've searched for the answer, can't comprehend if that everyday burden seems to fall without end. When in life's room full of empty, you helplessly stand. Just wait for the touch of the Master's strong hand. Oh, I feel the touch of the Master's strong hand, leading me on through this weary sunland. Footsteps would falter to hide the gut to span, except for the touch of the Master's strong hand. Touch of the Master's strong hand, leading me on through this wearisome land. Footsteps would falter to wipe the cup to span, except for the touch of the Master's strong hand. Aren't you glad for the Master's hand? Amen. Couldn't make it without Jesus. How about you? Amen. So blessed to be in the house of the Lord this morning. So blessed to be up and about. A lot of folks can't say that this morning. And our thoughts and prayers go out to those who are in the hospitals, those who are sick and shut in, and those who may be struggling with whatever the case may be. There's a lot of folks this morning that doesn't have the joy and the victory in their lives. And if you have that joy and victory this morning, you should be thankful and give the Lord praise. Amen. Glory to God. He's worthy of all of our praise. If you have your Bibles, go with us to the book of Philemon this morning. It's only one chapter. And we want to read verses 1 through 6 in the book of Philemon. Chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 6. Thank you for standing as we read from the Word of God. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, how we love and thank you, God, for this day and this opportunity to gather together with your saints. Lord, I pray your blessing and I pray your anointing, God, upon everyone here. If there's any needs in the house this morning, God, we know that you're able to supply those needs. If there's healing to be done, God, we know that you are the healer of our body. Father, finally, if there's salvation, Lord, to be taken advantage of, we know, God, that you are our Redeemer. I pray now humbly, Lord, that you would just anoint these lips of clay, God, anoint this vessel, God, that your word may go forth this morning. We'll give you praise and honor and glory. We ask it in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Amen. You may be seated. Let me just start by saying I love the Lord. It's not just a phrase. I love the Lord. I'm totally dependent on Him. Very much appreciative that He cares enough, man, to see to our needs and to be that constant abode. Amen. That means so much to me to know that each and every day that I have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning I want to bring a message, and I want to read that verse 6, if I may, if you would indulge me for just a moment. I'd like to read that from the King James Amplified Version. Verse number 6, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now from the Amplified, and I pray that the participation in and sharing of your faith may produce and promote full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge of every good thing that is in ours, that is ours in our identification with Christ Jesus and unto his glory. Let me start by saying that this epistle was written by the Apostle Paul, and he was not in the comfort of his living room, nor was he immersed in his study with all of his works there. Historians tell us that he wrote this from a jail cell. Not a pleasant place to be glorifying and praising God, but the Apostle Paul often spent time in jail for preaching the kingdom of Christ. So he was writing a letter of encouragement, a very short letter, one of the shortest, if not the shortest, epistles that Paul wrote to his beloved brother Philemon. History tells us that Philemon was a wealthy merchant man that was converted under Paul's preaching and became a Christian believer and was very active in the church. Some even referred to him as a bishop, but he was along in the Lord and following and converting souls as well. And Paul's journeys took him elsewhere. Well, during some of Paul's ministries and his missionary journeys, there was a servant in the household of Philemon by the name of Onesimus. Some referred to him as a servant or a slave, but basically he was owned by Philemon. And Onesimus took some money from Philemon, and he ran away from him. And he searched out and found Paul. I want you to pay attention to this story because it's such a type and shadow of where we were before we found Jesus. So he goes and he finds Paul, and Paul begins to take him under his wing and begins to minister to him. Not condoning what he did, but ministering to him. And Onesimus repents and becomes a believer and a part of the fellowship of Christ. So much so that Paul even referred to him as a part of his flesh, When you call one another brother and sister, what you're saying, we are the same flesh. Amen. You may be from different backgrounds. You may be from different situations. But the blood, the DNA of Jesus Christ. How many is thankful for the precious blood of Jesus Christ that he gave and repented, that we repented and he washed away our sins because it made us become brothers and sisters in Christ. So Paul was very attached to him. So he wrote a letter, and in the latter part of the letter, he admonishes Philemon to rethink and to forgive Onesimus, and not only to forgive him, but to give him his freedom. But before he does that, he talks something that I'm going to refer to as effectual faith or maturity, spiritual maturity. The Bible tells us that each and every one of us is given a measure of faith. Don't ever say, I don't have faith. You do have faith. Now, you might say, I'm not using my faith. Many of us have been guilty of that. Amen. We have not because we ask not. If we don't believe, how are we going to expect it to be done if we don't believe? But the Bible says, if you believe, all things are possible. Even the things that are impossible with man are made possible by God when we use that faith that God has given us. But if you've been saved for a number of years, if you've been growing in the spirituality of God, and you've walked with Jesus, this is what was on my mind this week, just walking with Jesus. You know what an honor that is? What a privilege that is that Jesus cares that much about each and every one of us, that he not only saves us, but he walks with us. Each and every day of my life, I have a friend in Jesus. I have a constant abode. The Bible says he won't leave you and he won't forsake you. Even in the bad times, he's always there. And I'm thankful for that. But I begin to think, Lord, have I matured? Have I grown in grace? Have I grown in mercy? Have I grown in my faith to believe what the Word of God tells us? Do you know this Bible is full of promises? It's full of promises if we will put our faith and trust in God. But as we walk with Jesus on a daily basis, there's not only a transformation of salvation, but there's a transformation of our spiritual conduct. Each and every one of you that is a believer is a walking billboard of the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. That includes when you're driving your car. That includes when you're standing impatiently in a line waiting. You are, in fact, an ambassador. You will probably have greater effect on many people that don't even know you, amen, rather than telling them about the Word of God. If you're living the Word of God and experiencing in your life, you are in fact a living, breathing testimony of the goodness of God. But we need to grow. I said we need to grow. And from Paul's environment in a cell, in a jail cell, he finds an opportunity to encourage someone else. It wasn't a letter of self-pity. It wasn't a letter of poor, pitiful me. It wasn't a letter of, look what has happened to me. I need your help. It was a letter of encouragement to his fellow servant in God, in Christ. Lifting him up and persuading him to be stronger in the faith. Now, the Amplified Version says that your participation in sharing of your faith may produce and promote. Each and every one of us, I believe, has an obligation to exercise that faith. Not only the faith that we can be believers and believe that Christ died on the cross for us and saved us, but being able to share that faith with others. So many times we think to share the faith, we got to recite the Bible. No, that's not it. You live the Bible, and people will see Christ in you. Love, greater love than we were ever even allowed to experience until Jesus Christ came into our life. Christians ought to be the most loving folks on the face of this earth, and the most giving, and the most understanding, because Christ forgave us and has filled us with his love. But he says here that your participation, Philemon. And your sharing of faith may produce and promote, first of all, full recognition. I like that word, full recognition. Knowing your soul is right with God. I saw that and I became somewhat disturbed because I've had the opportunity to witness to folks and be with others, and when you go out and you're passing out tracts or you're knocking on doors or you're seeing somebody in the grocery store or on the street, and you ask them the question, you know, how's your soul? Are you a believer? And a lot of those responses are not with affirmation. They're not with a certainty. They use words like, I try to be. I hope I am. I'm sure praying that I am. When the response ought to be, yes, I'm a child of God. Yes, I'm a believer. Yes, because of His blood that He shed on the cross of Calvary, my sins have been remitted. I'm on my way to heaven. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His grace. There should never be a moment's hesitation or least bit of doubt in our mind of someone who's been born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, filled with His Holy Spirit. Can you say amen, church? Aren't you glad? Aren't you thankful? What Jesus did on the cross. Knowing with full recognition. There's no wonder there's so much stress and anxiety in the world today. People are uncertain of their future. People are unsure where they're going to spend eternity. Let me narrow it down for you. It's one of two places. There's no in between. There's no door number three. The old preacher said, it's heaven or hell. Somebody said, oh, he hurt my feelings. Thank God. Thank God he hurt my feelings. Let me know that he hurt my feelings, but he let me know he loved me. He loved me. He didn't want me to go to that awful place. He wanted me to know in full recognition that when these eyes close in death, I've got a brand new home. I got a brand new glorified body. I got a place where there's no problems, no troubles, no trials, no sickness. Thank God, no more death. You ought to clap your hands for that. If you're going to heaven, amen, when you leave this walk of life. Philemon, I want you to have full recognition. In order to best use that faith that is within you, you need full recognition of what Jesus Christ did for you and where He brought you from. Do I have anybody in the house today who's thankful that Jesus brought us from our past? Hallelujah. Set us on a new road. You need to know how your sins were remitted. Not by filling out a visitor card. Not by having your name added to the church roll. Not just by being a good person. You know, a lot of preachers wouldn't like me to say this, but not just by paying your tithes. You can't buy your way into heaven. Jesus paid the price. And when you have full recognition that you are saved, you are born again, and your destination is heaven, then you need to know how your sins were remitted. By the blood of Jesus Christ, the sacrificial lamb, the Son of God, who came willingly and laid down His life for each and every single one of us in this house and for the whole world if they would believe Him and accept Him. I thought it was quite extraordinary that Paul began with this type of acknowledgement or admonishment to Philemon before he ever said, you need to forgive Onesimus. We want forgiveness. But when we have full recognition of the Spirit that is within us, we will forgive others too. May I say that again? I said, we want forgiveness from the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Do you want to be forgiven for everything that you've done in your life? For all of those things when you were out in sin? Thank you, Lord Jesus, they're washed away. But because we have full recognition in the faith and the Spirit that is maturing within us, we in turn need to forgive others. Love them as your Father has loved you. Not only do we need full recognition, but we need appreciation. Has anybody ever told you, I appreciate you? You just kind of pass that off. Appreciate you. Not only do they love you, but they appreciate everything about you. Not what you can do for me, but I appreciate you. I appreciate knowing you. I appreciate fellowshipping with you. I appreciate singing and worshiping God with you. We need to have appreciation, overwhelming love, and thanksgiving for what Jesus did for us. A total heartfelt appreciation. Appreciation means that probably not one thank you is going to suffice. I just can't say, think that one thank you to Jesus is going to get it done. He knows our heart anyway. But I got to thank Him every day. I got to thank Him for life. I got to thank Him for health. First and foremost, I got to thank Him for salvation. Because life, let me say, life and health don't mean anything if you don't have salvation. Amen. Glory to God. But when you have salvation, you'll learn to appreciate the life that God has blessed you with and the health and the strength and all of those other things that I call fringe benefits that the Lord gives us. But we need that full appreciation for what Jesus did on the cross, for telling us that I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send a comforter in my name. That comforter dwells within us, leads us, and guides us each and every day of my life. How are you thankful for Jesus living inside your spirit this morning? And then he mentions another word in the Amplified, understanding. I'm still trying to comprehend the grace of God. Don't get me wrong. I believe in it, I love it, and I'm thankful for it. But it is so immaculate and so big and so wonderful to know that God would love a little old boy like me from Georgia, a sinner. He would love me so much that He gave His Son to die on the cross for me. That still blows my mind. But I believe it, and I'm thankful for it because the Bible says it. And we need to understand the grace of God, unmerited favor. We didn't earn it. We can't work for this. We can't get it by any other means except repentance. Amen. And confessing and coming to an altar and asking Jesus Christ to come into your life. Fill me with your spirit. Some people say, I want a room in my life for Him. No, I want Him to have the whole house. I want Him to have access to every room. There was a song, and I talked about it in a sermon several years ago. A song came out of something. There was one room in the house that Jesus was not allowed to go into, because that's where all the garbage was. That's where all the secret things were. That's where all the pain and the anxiety and everything that just got shoved in. I don't know if y'all have one of them rooms in your house, a closet or a building, or what am I going to do with this? I'll just stick it in there. Boom. And somebody says, you need to get a dumpster. No, I might need this some of these days. If you ever seen my building, you'll think, Lord have mercy, He needs to throw half away everything that's in there, or half of everything anyway. But we have those rooms sometimes. And the rest of the rooms, we'll clean up. If somebody might visit. But let me tell you something. Jesus is not interested in those rooms that you took care to clean up. He wants that bad room. Why? So He can clean it. Come on. Amen. So He can come in and make it anew. Amen. So all things can be passed away and all things can become new. He can clean it out. Glory to God. And have access to every room in your spiritual body. To understand that, what grace is. The grace of God through Jesus Christ, the sacrificial lamb, who not only died for our sin, but gave to us His Spirit to dwell in our soul. Would you join me and thank Jesus Christ right now for what He did? Amen. Hallelujah.
But Philemon, I know that you are a church worker. Philemon, I know that you give unto the Lord. Philemon, I know that you've opened up your house to help others. Philemon, I know that you're preaching and testifying about the love of God, and you're converting souls. But you need to understand and recognize the faith that is within you. There is an untouched measure of power and faith that is in every Christian if we would just unlock it and let God use that, strengthen that faith. Today you ought to have greater faith than you did last year. You ought to have greater faith than when you first received the Spirit of the Holy Ghost in your life. Amen, because God has brought you through trials. God has brought you through valleys. You've overtopped mountains. You've done and seen miraculous things happen. That all, each and everything, every testimony that you hear, every testimony that you give, every song of praise ought to entrust us to put our faith and let it grow for God. Philemon, I know you're walking in the light, but can I admonish you that your participation and sharing of your faith will produce and promote the kingdom of God. Not only do you need full recognition, not only do you need appreciation and understanding, but you need precise knowledge. Precise knowledge. Let me tell you something. Precise knowledge of the saving grace of God doesn't necessarily come from books that have been written by people. They may be good reading, and they may be encouraging. But I believe that the only book that you're going to find the plan of salvation is in the Word of God. And it's not written to confuse you. It's not written to exclude you. It's written to include you. You know, I don't like to hear people say, well, I've been too bad. No, you haven't. Study the life of Paul when he was Saul. God's grace that we talked about understanding, His mercy and His wonderful, abundant love will give you a clean start, will erase your past by the blood of Jesus Christ, will pull you out of that miry clay, will set you on a solid rock and establish your goings. You or I could never do that on our own except for Jesus, except for His love. We need the precise knowledge, knowing the power of faith and acknowledging every good thing that is in us is from Christ Jesus. I want to remind you of a story, a parable that Jesus used. It was of a very productive farmer, one who was able to have so much produce, so much harvest. And he looked on that and he basically, I'm paraphrasing, but said, boy, you've done a good job. And you've made a good living. Really excelled in your life. Look what you have. That fine house. Those automobiles. I don't know if he had a jet ski or some boats, but we'll say he did. I don't know if he had all kind of wealth around. I don't know. But he attributed everything that he had to himself and his ability. And he said, what am I going to do? The harvest is so big, I don't have anywhere to store it. I know what I'll do. I'll tear down these barns and I'll build bigger barns. This is where he messed up. He said, and I'll say, soul be at rest. What will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? There is no salvation in things of this world. God's not going to care how big your checking account is. Not going to care how much real estate you own. I'm not preaching against real estate, and I'm not preaching against savings accounts. If your savings account and your checking account gets too big, hey, give it over to me. I'll take it. I ain't afraid of money. It's not money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money. I don't love money. I just love what it buys. You know what I mean? Money won't get you to heaven. You need to know the precise knowledge, knowing the power and the strength of the infilling of God's Spirit and what He has put in us. That so many people are sitting idly by, not taking full advantage of the faith and the power that God has given us. He said, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Glory to God. I don't know if anybody feels powerful today or not. I'm not talking about power this way. I'm talking about power this way. Amen. We got power through the name of Jesus Christ and through His Spirit. Power to overcome demons. Power to heal. Power through the name of Jesus. Amen. To cast out demonic spirits if they come. Jesus said, this power, this wonderful power, this glorious power. Effectual faith, in essence, is faith in action. Faith in action. If we got faith, we're going to see the results of faith. You're going to see the results of faith. You're going to call things done even before there's evidence of them being done. Because that's what the Bible says. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. As I was mulling over this message this week, and I was just, you know, sometimes you're a sponge. Maybe you're not. Sometimes I'm a sponge. And it just seems like I can't soak up enough of what God's speaking to me. And I'm telling God, I'm just human now. I can't. Your thoughts and your ways are much higher than mine. Slow down. Let me get a pen and paper. Let me write some of this stuff down. But I'm just absorbing that. And I was thinking this week about all the wonderful things that God has done. Miracles that He's performed. And the doors that He has opened. And I'm thinking about, Lord, am I being an example of faith? Can others see my life and say that he stands by what he preaches? He believes in faith. He believes in God. He believes in the miracle performing ability of God. He believes in God redeeming us, and he believes in God taking control of our lives. And it began to stir. Just soaking up. And it says basically that effectual faith is faith in action. You know, even when things around me are falling down, I'm still proclaiming God. Still glorifying Him. Still saying, wait, it's not over. It's not over. And I begin to think about the prayer of the prophet. Was it Elijah? It hadn't rained so long, and he went up to Mount Carmel, and he began to pray. Sent his servant to look. Servant came back with bad news. No, ain't nothing. Elijah got up and said, God, I thought you loved me. Here I have come up here all the way, climbed up this mountain just to pray, and there's not a cloud in sight. Don't even look like it's going to rain. He bowed down, prostrate on the ground, and he began to pray again. Not twice, not three times, not four, not five. Seven times he prayed. Seven opportunities to give up on God. Seven opportunities to say, God, you don't love me. Seven opportunities to say, my faith ain't working. But his persistence paid off. Let me tell you something. There'd been some of us, we'd have waited till we had to get an umbrella to get down. Lord, I just got to feel that first drop of rain on my head. He didn't. He just saw a cloud. In fact, he didn't even see it. His servant did. He told the servant, we better get down. It's about to come an abundance of rain. I'm going to tell you something, folks. When things get so bad you think there's no way out, look out. There's about to come an abundance of rain. Glory to God. God knows exactly what's going on. He knows exactly what you're facing in your life. I believe with all of my heart he's about to pour out of his blessings. He's about to pour out of his anointings. And we're going to need to turn that umbrella upside down. Not to get them off of us, but to catch them all as they come down. God's about to do a mighty work. I believe that. But we got to grow maturity, a spiritual maturity. We got to have that working, effectual faith and put it into work. Exercise that faith. It promotes power. It gives you strength. And when you have power and strength, you have rest, less worry and stress. Isn't it amazing that the more of the grace of God comes into our life, it pushes the other stuff out? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes I need to be purged. Lord, I need you to cleanse my mind. I just need you to purge some of this stuff out. Get this worry, get this stress off of me, Lord. Give me your blessings and your anointing, God. Give me that memory of all the things that you've done for me. There's a song that says, don't talk about the times you were down and out. Talk about how God brought you out. Let's talk about the good times, the good things. Amen. Every single one of us has some good things that we need to declare that God has done for us. If nothing else, you're alive and well and able to come into the church and glorify and praise God. Amen. Effectual faith pleases God. You want to be pleasing to God? Man, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It also produces blessings. Amen. How many could use some blessings? How many would raise their hand and say, I got faith to believe I got blessings coming? Brother Eddie, you're talking about something now. You're talking about name it and claim it. No, I'm talking about what God's promises are. Amen. I don't know what your idea of blessings are. Your idea may be riches and wealth and fame and all that. My blessings are just life and breath, amen, and the ability to put my hands together, to come into the church and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, amen, with saints of God who are sold out to Jesus. This is a blessing to me to be able to come in and worship the Lord. Man, it produces blessings, effectual faith. And I'm going to pass this on because the Lord hit me with it. While I was being a sponge, the Holy Ghost just kind of squeezed me. If the Holy Ghost ever get a hold of you, he said, oh, Lord, it hurt. Wasn't really ready for that. You know, but I needed it. I'm going to pass it on to you. Because I think that it is admonition and admonishment to the church today. I'm not talking about just this church. I'm talking about the church of believers. How many knows the church of believers is bigger than this congregation? It's a worldwide congregation. You know, right now there's people all over this world being saved and born again. Thank God for the missionaries. Put your hands together for those who are out spreading the word. But Paul's talking to a fellow church member, a fellow servant. Talking to one that, you know, you got your house pretty much in order, but there's one other thing you need to do. You need to forgive that brother. Actually, he was not even referred to as a brother. Paul said, and hey, let him be your brother. He's not your servant anymore. You give him his freedom, he will become your brother. He's a part of the family of God. Let me just say, whoever God puts in the family of God, you better love them as God has loved you. And here's what he was telling Philemon. Basically, effectual faith. That your participation and sharing of your faith may produce and promote. Effectual faith does not only cause faith in action, does not only please God, but effectual faith, and I'm going to read this because I don't want to miss a word. Effectual faith causes us not to look to others for encouragement, but rather to look to encourage others. Let me read that again. Effectual faith, faith in action, causes us not to look to others for encouragement. I know others will encourage, but if you're always looking for encouragement from others, you're maybe not exercising your faith like you need to be. In fact, you ought to be looking for others to encourage. Paul could have sat there in the jail and said, Philemon, you need to encourage me. But no, he said, I'm going to encourage you. Because I'm not talking about my present condition, because my faith is in God and God is going to free me. God's going to get me out of this situation. Somebody needs to know that today. Amen. Rather than sitting there feeling all bad and all sorrowful for the situation that you're in, you ought to raise both hands and say, God, just wait until you finish with me and see what's coming when you deliver me. Amen. Holy Ghost people ought to be the most encouraging people that they are. You never know when somebody out there in this world needs an encouraging word from you. Maybe it's in a hospital. Maybe it's in somewhere where you work. Maybe it's the person that works right next to you in that office or on that line or wherever it is. You don't know what they're going through, man. And you may be having a hard time. You may be struggling. But if you got faith and you got the Spirit of God living in, when you look for an opportunity to encourage somebody, lift them up as God has lifted up. Effectual faith causes us not to look to others for encouragement, but rather to look to encourage others. That the communication of thy faith. What is communication? Everybody says talking. It's also listening. Amen. Speaking and hearing. The communication. Amen. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual. Lord, make my faith effectual faith. Let it be faith in action. Don't let me just talk about it. Come on. A lot of people can talk a good game, but follow it up with action. Follow it up with love. Concern for your fellow man. Prayers for our nation. Prayers for one another. Prayer for those in church. Instead of saying, I wonder what's happening to so-and-so, or I wonder where that, would you pray for them? We don't know. Be anything. Lord, help them. If they're going through a trial, Lord, encourage them as you have encouraged me. I will assure you, if you're a born-again Christian, you're going to find something to praise the Lord for every single day of your life. Amen. I said it's not all about material things. We're going to leave material things behind. But if you've got Jesus Christ, you've got His Spirit dwelling with you, then it comes with faith. May God bless you. I love you immensely. I appreciate each and every. I appreciate you. That means I really love you. If I can ever be of any help or any assistance to any of you, please don't hesitate to call. And that's what we ought to do one for another, brothers and sisters in Christ. Would you stand? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you have a need, we encourage you that this altar is open. Don't leave this place. You may be feeling sad or dejected or whatever the case may be. Come get deliverance. You need healing for your body. The Bible says, call for the elders of the church. Let them pray and anoint with oil. You'll be delivered. God will heal you. If you don't know Jesus, if you're uncertain, if you couldn't make that statement that if I die tonight, I know where my soul will be, it'll be in the arms of Jesus Christ. If you can't make that statement, I wouldn't leave this place today with that uncertainty. I'll assure you there'll be people praying with you, praying for you. Is there one this morning? I won't tarry, I won't be long, but God bless you, each and every one. We love you so very much and pray that God will just bless this day.
Savior reached down for me. He had to reach way down for me. I was lost and undone without God. Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way, I was wretched and foul as could be, but the Savior above gave me peace.
Accident this week. If y'all didn't know, the temple accident was my son. It's a miracle. So let's say this, it's a miracle for anybody from that accident to be alive. He is alive. The other couple is not as injured as bad as we thought. Thank the Lord. My son will have to learn to walk again, but he's alive and God has saved him, and I praise the Lord. Amen.
Now my soul does rejoice, since I made him my choice. From the tempest to him I now flee, and I lean on his arm, safe, secure from all. Since he reached down his hand for me, when the Savior reached down for me, he had to reach way down for me. For me, when the Savior reached down for me, he had to reach way down for me. When he reached down his hand for me,
well, glory, God bless you. Give Jesus one more hand clap of praise, if you would. Thank you.
just in case. I don't think there's anybody in here that doubts the power of God, but just in case, I want you to hear this testimony.
Hallelujah. I'm going to confess first. I did something silly a couple of months back. I had gotten a little eyelash glue or whatever it is. I'm trying to look like everybody else. My eye went, I already had a cataract. I got them in both eyes. My eye went blind, and then all of a sudden I couldn't see nothing. I'm getting ready to go to work one morning. And this eyesight has been so, I can't read signs or anything. Pastor Eddie prayed for me. God had already told me. He said, Linda, it's going to heal, but it's going to take time. It didn't start healing until the man of God put his hands on me last Sunday. I came up the highway and I was able to close one eye and almost see the signs. I really couldn't see them at first because of just blank. I can't give any credit to the supplements I take. I give the glory and the praise to God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. He's still performing miracles. Amen. Praise God.
What a mighty God.
Oh, God is so great.
Yes,
God is so great. You know, there's so many testimonies, but to hear them and to just feel those cold chills is those testimonies, and you know that all the praise and honor goes to our God. And in the name of Jesus, all hearts and minds clear. What a powerful message, powerful service this morning. But you know, there's a continuation as we go into service this evening. Love to fill the house. Invite somebody. Make plans to come. Even if you got other plans, just whatever you've got to do, make plans to be here this evening for service. I'd like to ask anyone that'll come a little early. We'd like to have prayer before the service this evening. We used to do it every Sunday evening. But come on up. We'll dim the lights and just have some prayer here this evening. And then whatever all the scheduling they've got planned for this evening. But make plans to come. But until then, I'm talking in faith. But right now, I know in faith that God is great and He's here right now. If there's anyone else that needs prayer, needs a touch, anyone watching online that needs prayer, I know there were some prayers. We read them after each service. I know the church reads them and that we're praying for. And just know that God is at work right now. No matter what the news says, no matter what this world tries to tell you, God is a God now, today. Amen. And He's healing and He's protecting. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for this morning's service, dear Lord. Thank You for Sunday school, for all those in attendance, those watching online, dear Lord. We just want to praise You. Lord, thank You, dear Lord, for Your Word. And, dear Lord, for ministering to each and every one of us, dear Lord, for Your healing power, Your touch on each and every one of us, and for those special prayers that were brought forth to You this morning, dear Lord. We thank You for their healings. We know that You'll be with those having procedures tomorrow and later this week. Lord, we know You're with the students as they're going back, too. I know the colleges are opening back up. Lord, there's a lot on the road, but, dear Lord, we just love and praise You. And, dear Lord, and for those that are still standing, waiting on an answer from the doctor or waiting for that sign, by faith, we're claiming it right now in Your name, Jesus. And, dear Lord, we give You all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. See y'all this evening. Praise God.